Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, it's Lois. If you enjoy reading and are also a dog lover, then stay tuned after the interview. This episode, I'd like to thank Hindenburg Pro for their sponsorship. Hindenburg.com. It's all about the story. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen, and today we are doing something a little bit different. We're not talking to a person with a disability, but we are going to be talking to a lady about a service that is provided for those with disabilities. We're going to be talking to Geertje van den Broek. And Geertje is running a guest house, which is a wheelchair accessible guest house in Somerset West in Cape Town in South Africa. Geertje, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We met a few months ago, and it's so great to actually have the chance to chat to you and learn a little bit more about your work, your facilities, and the guest house that you've started. So welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much, Lois, and good morning as well.
Thank you. That's great. So, Geertje, would you mind just introducing yourself to the people who are listening and watching the episode, and just give us a little bit of your background?
So my name is Geertje van den Broek. I'm from Belgium, and 3 years ago, November 2021, we moved, me and my son, so it's just the two of us, we moved to South Africa, and after actually a very quick chat, so we talked about 5 minutes about moving, and I sold everything in Belgium, and we came to South Africa, and the procedure went very quick, so after 10 months, we arrived, and yeah, to get into the country, you have only a few options. So I choose to open a business and open a guest house. And in Belgium, I was a carer. So it was actually quite logical for me to combine that, like a guest house for people with a disability. And my set up or my ID was actually approved very quickly. The people from DDI, they said, oh yes, we don't have that in Somerset West yet. So they really were very excited about that idea and that project. So with my background, it was not so difficult to open a guest house for people with disability. And I'm at the moment, I'm focused on people in a wheelchair.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic to hear. And it's interesting to know that the process to immigrate, actually the ability to start that business, so easily recognized the need for a guest house of this nature. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because I'm noticing more, I think, more focus within workplaces, within government. There is slowly starting to be a greater focus on accessibility, inclusion, and the diversity of people with disability. And I'm really excited to hear that.
So exactly, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your guest house, Casa Elanga.
So it started with a funny story also, if I'm allowed to tell you this.
Please.
I was looking for a name, and I thought, oh, let's look at the nature elements like water and sun and air or sky. And I thought, let's see in COSA. And yeah, there were a lot of different difficult names. But then I saw sun, Elanga. But I took the capital I for an L. So first it was actually Casa Langa. And then when my friend, who's South African, did my flyer, she said, Geertje, but Langa doesn't exist. I said, why? It should be Elanga. I think you took the L, the capital I for an L. So I had to, I made already my business cards. And so, yeah, luckily I changed it in the right way. So it's Casa Elanga, House of Sun. And I think, yeah, I'm a positive person, and my rooms are also bright and with, yeah, colorful items or colorful towels. My towels are like purple and petrol blue. To give you an idea, not boring white or gray, just I've got a very nice bright wallpaper, and that's my feature wall. That says enough. So and then about the disabilities, because I was a carer, it was kind of easy to make the rooms. Or I had an idea how the rooms had to be because of my background. So I was very to the point to the constructor, like, no, I need big showers or big bathrooms that you can turn around with a wheelchair. The rooms had to be not filled with a lot of furniture. Only one piece and maximum, so that they can, that there's still space. Mm-hmm. So I also had some people who gave me advice. You have Brandon Beek. He's a young guy who is quite famous, it seems. He lives also in Somerset West. He had a gymnastic accident. And he gave me a lot of tips, like just to give me advice, actually. And then also you have Renee. She owns a shuttle service, actually, and a company that provides wheelchair transport. So she also came here. She spent the night here just to see, like, a tryout. I organized a tryout, so to see what was missing. And with all those comments, I think I made a nice place. And also the ramps, everybody's jealous of my ramps. I've got rubber ramps you can take with you. Last week I had a person in a wheelchair. I still get small comments like, hey, maybe you should do this or this, like make the mirror bigger. And it's small things, and I'm still improving. Every time I had a guest with a disability, they gave me comments, and I immediately, or I tried to do something with that, yeah.
And I suppose, you know, the reality is that people have different strengths, have different components to their disabilities, and some people have different requirements. And I think the very important thing in catering for an inclusive guest house or an inclusive service of any kind is to be flexible, to have the options. First of all, have the mindset to make changes if you need to. Second, to have the capability of adjusting smaller things for one person and then change them back or change them differently for someone else. So there's very much, and it's nothing wrong or difficult or demanding of the person. It is just something that makes them each as an individual possible to engage fully with everything that they're doing. So that's fantastic.
I had the Disabled Bold Club staying with me in all the rooms. So that was for me a very big challenge to find out, okay, normally I had only one room, but now it was like five. It's like, oh my God, am I going to do right? Is it going to be okay? So the first moment they arrived, we were busy with taking off the legs of the beds because for that it was too high or too low. So first half hour, we were busy with making changes in the rooms, but they were so happy just to try. That's the most important thing, I guess, if you have guests with a disability, just that me as an owner tried to get them comfortable and not saying, oh, well, it's not my problem. I think the attitude of the guest house owner is so important. And you can only do your best, but it's that best that they appreciate so much. And even if it's not possible, you tried, and it was with a smile, and it was not a big effort for me or my domestic, because she helped. And my son also, we all were busy with changing the beds and the bedroom. So, and it was such a good feeling because we tried, and I think that's the most important, that you just try to organize stuff for them.
And you know, it's from an experience side for those of us living with disabilities, the very fact that you know that you're coming into accommodation, into a guest house, that your needs can generally be catered for. I mean, the number of times people go to guest houses that claim to be accessible, or to hotels that claim to be accessible, and then they discover things are perhaps not quite as accessible for them as they were led to believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just such a positive experience to know that your needs can be looked after, that it's the simple things, and there's not something that's going to sideswipe you and suddenly go, oh, I didn't realize there was a step there, or I thought one step would be okay. The number of times that we hear that, and I think, you know, just in talking to wheelchair users and people with mobility challenges about that experience. Because, I mean, ultimately, your customers, your clients, they don't necessarily only people who are wheelchair users. It's also people with other mobility impairments, perhaps balance issues, or even people who are elderly and benefit from a far easier experience of moving around an environment.
Yeah. So yes. I had two births. People gave birth at my guest house. So,
oh my word.
Yes. So I'm also open for that kind of guests. And the ladies, they were like, oh my God, the brackets on the toilets after you give birth is just so good. I said, at least, well, you see, so it's not only for people with disability, even with new moms, the brackets near the next to the toilets are also great to have. So, yeah.
So when you and I met, we were both involved in a panel discussion on accessible travel in South Africa.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying to me when we talked then that over time, you really wanted to extend and expand your services to also be able to fulfill the needs of people with other conditions, other disabilities. What made you focus initially on mobility as your starting point?
Because, yeah, in Belgium, I was a carer and I was mostly working with people with disabilities in a wheelchair. So that's my experience. I don't have any experience with blind people or deaf people. So that was my first group to, I think that was already a big group to accommodate and to look after. So yeah, that was my focus. I think when I was working, or when I would work with, would have, is that correct? Would have
That's
worked
it.
With, would have worked with people, blind people or deaf people, I think my focus would be on that group. But now, because of my experience with disabled people, like mobility-wise, that's why my focus was more on that group. Yeah.
I think it's a really important starting point, because to have to go back and retrofit a building, re-engineer a building to make it accessible for those who are wheelchair users becomes far more expensive. So starting out with that to make it, so there's no steps, there's all ramps, that there's wider doorways, that there's different, you know, accessible features and things. That's a really good starting point that will still benefit other people. So I think it's actually a sensible decision as well.
Yeah, because the building was already here. So I wasn't, mm-hmm. I couldn't go too far, or yeah, I was limited, but it's even then it's not that hard just to do the main things like lower the basing or get brackets around the toilet, give them a walking in shower. And also my idea was to build a guest house that was also for able people, mm-hmm. and that they not like have the feeling that it was only for disabled people. So it's for both. It's for abled and disabled people. And also then for the disabled people, not to give them a feeling that they're in a hospital, that yes. they were on holiday. And that for me, that was also very important, that the both abled and disabled are get the feeling that they're on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not only for one type of group.
Well, that is important to make it an inclusive guest house,
yeah,
rather than catering specifically to people with disabilities, because we just want to experience travel and holidays like everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got some comments from people that there was a lady from Durban and she said, oh, finally, I can come on my own.
Yes.
And that's for me, that's the best comment. Like, because her husband was joining the Wine to Wales and she was staying here on her own. And yeah, she loved it. So for me, that's the best review I can get.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little more in the specifics of exactly what features and facilities does Casa Ilanga provide for people, that particularly people that are wheelchair users and people with mobility impairments.
So it's absolutely flat, no stairs at all on the property. So every room's got a ramp, and it's you enter the room via sliding door. I've got a walking-in shower, and of course the brackets near the toilets. I also provide a rolling shower chair. And just also the space that they don't have to be careful that they knock over or roll over a vase or whatever, that I put as less as possible in the room, that that it's not like a big adventure in the room for them. And the only thing I don't put up yet is like an elevator near my pool, but it's so expensive.
the pool lift. Yeah.
The pool lift. Yeah. That's such an expensive thing. So, yeah. But the thing is, South Africans don't use a pool. They don't swim, even just able people. It's more the foreigners who use the pool. But that's something that's on my bucket list. If I win the lottery, I will provide a pool lift, definitely. But at this stage, it's just so expensive.
It is. I think that is one of our challenges here, is that the accessible, you know, the assistive technology can often be prohibitively expensive. Yeah. So we do what we can where we can, I think. And other services like partnerships that you have with other organizations, like you mentioned Renee from Travel with Renee. Do you partner with her to help people be transported to the guest house?
Yes.
And for excursions and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. But most people who come, they mostly have their own car. So, I had already a few people, and they came with their own car, or they can. I had also some Belgian people already in a wheelchair, and they have their own car. They rent a car, so that's but easy. But yeah, if it's not possible, then absolutely Renee is the best or easy and handy to have as a background, and vice versa. I get guests who booked with her for a tour, and she always says to start or to end a tour. She used me, so it's a good partnership, actually. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that is one of the things that I've noticed, and I think particularly in the disabled or the accessible travel and the inclusive travel market, but also in just in the disability community generally, is that we tend to be very open to collaboration and partnerships and also sharing information, sharing knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so important, because it's very hard to find that information if you are researching and you're not kind of local and know the infrastructure, as it were.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I try my best to find those sources. There was I worked with DISA also.
Disability Information South Africa. Yes, so there are a lot of resources out there. So how are you actually, where are you marketing Kasi Ilanga?
Well, that's still something, that's one of my negative things. I'm not so good in the marketing. Actually, tomorrow somebody's coming to help me doing it better, my marketing. So yeah, of course, just Google and booking.com. But yeah, it's always better to book direct, of course, because we have to give them a lot of commission. And actually, I get more direct bookings, luckily, than bookings via booking.com or LegacyLab or Expedia. So luckily, I don't have to give the commission to them. But you also pay 20% more.
Yes.
So it's better to book direct. And mostly it's at the moment is just mouth to mouth advertising. So yeah, that's actually the way how it goes at the moment. Just people who came here and they say, oh no, yeah, I know people who will come to South Africa. I will definitely recommend you. So and I still have to, or I can't forget that this is only my third season. Yeah. So I'm still very new in the business, and yeah, I need to have some more, patience.
So, you know, being from Belgium, and having moved to South Africa, and coming particularly to Cape Town, I would imagine that one of the other things that you've done is to kind of consider the accessibility or lack thereof of Cape Town as a city. Have you got any thoughts on how you found that and what your thoughts are there? How accessible is Cape Town?
Well, that's something, yeah, our movement was quite suddenly. I was actually watching a program about Belgian people who moved to Norway. Mm-hmm. And my son came down and he said, oh, why don't we move? I said, yeah, actually, why not? But not to Norway. And he's, and 3 years, in 2019, I came here just on a holiday with him. And he said, yeah, to South Africa. I said, are you serious? Yeah, mom. And that was our conversation about immigrate. That was it, honestly. But I've been here 20 years ago, and it was always in the back of my head and under my skin. And of course, when he told me, yeah, South Africa, I was quite happy. but that was because that's the only country I really connect with. But so I didn't think of, or I didn't investigate actually yet how much Cape Town is accessible. But from the comments I get from people or from guests, it's not too bad.
I think
it's not too bad. You know, I think in Belgium it's even worse.
Oh, really? That's interesting to know. I mean, I understand that for many wheelchair users, the experience of the old paved and cobbled streets in a lot of European cities can really be a struggle, as often for people who are visually impaired. I mean, me as a white cane user, that it's cobbled streets are difficult.
And we have also a lot in Belgium. Oh, it's horrible. And actually, I had a few months ago, I think, once it's already, our time is going so fast. I had actually the Minister of Parliament at my guest house together with a group of people who wanted to get Somerset West more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So they came here and had a meeting, a board meeting. And it was funny because they were looking for a board meeting who was accessible. So they actually used my breakfast area because one of them was Jeremy. He was in a wheelchair. So they were looking for a boardroom that was wheelchair accessible. And I said, well, I've got a breakfast area. You can use it. So they... but I don't know what was or what came out of from that meeting. I'm actually quite curious if there was any progress or any results so far. But yeah, I think Somerset West can be a bit better for accessible. Yeah.
And I think that's often the South African cities who have not really been built with accessibility in mind. And it's really only recently that we are starting to see the awareness of how improvements that will make it more inclusive of people with disabilities.
I think that's all over the world, Lois.
It's not uniquely South Africa.
No, definitely not.
So where can people find out more about Kas Elanga? We were saying that your marketing is very important and that you're still reaching out and building those networks and discovering ways to improve. But where can people who hear this find information?
Yeah, on Google, definitely. And I've got a website, www.kasailanga.co.za. They can find all that information on my website. I think that's the most important thing so far.
That's great. Why do you think people should visit Cape Town? What was it that you and your son decide to move here? What was it about Cape Town specific?
It's the mountain. Oh, it's hard to explain. You have to experience it. it gets under your skin and it's a special town and also a special country, I think, because of all the colors that living here. It's Africa and it's not Africa if you compare with like Malawi or Namibia or other countries. And especially Cape Town, I think the north of Africa is of South Africa is more African. But Cape Town is special. It's with all these influences of all cultures and the history. Yeah, it's something special. And that mountain, it's hard to explain. You have to experience. Every time I landed in Cape Town, it was like, oh, I'm home. And it's hard to explain. It was just a feeling I had. It's strange. I don't know why, but it's different than Belgium, definitely.
You know,
the reason why we choose South Africa, because my mom, of course, she was like, oh, why don't you go to Italy or Portugal or Spain? I didn't have any bonds with those countries. And at least I don't speak the languages, so... Then you have to learn Italian and Spanish or Portuguese. And I was already 52 when I arrived. You don't gonna learn a language at that age anymore. So for me, it was just, it was quite logical to come to South Africa because of all my travels 20 years ago. It was more easy to come to South Africa than to European countries. Maybe the paperwork would be easier in those countries than in South Africa. I think that's definitely true. But yeah, I'm still not, don't have any regrets of the move. And if it's not working out, we can always go back.
And I think, you know, a lot of people have said to me that what is so special about Cape Town particularly is that it has such strong aspects of Africa.
Yeah.
While also having strong aspects of Europe.
Yeah.
With our almost our cafe culture and the, and of course, the weather.
Yeah.
Which is just, even though our winters are cold and wet, they're not that cold or that wet. I mean, I have family who live in Poland and it gets really snowy and cold there.
Yeah, you
know,
it is.
You know, Belgium can't be much different because it's also in the same sort of...
I think it's less cold than Poland, definitely. But my oldest sister, she lives in Norway, just under the polar circle. It's also very cold and snowy over there. But the thing is, it doesn't take that long. It's only 2, maximum 3 months. In Belgium, it's 8, 9 months of rain, and it takes forever. And yeah, that's also a thing. It's, you get very depressed in winter in Belgium because it takes so long. So I'm happy with 2, 3 months of winter. I can handle this.
Hirtje, thank you so much for chatting about Kasialanga on A Different Way of Seeing. It has been so great to chat to you. I really appreciate your time and best of luck going forwards with the guest house. I really do think it is an important part of the South African community to make places that are inclusive of all.
Thank you so much as well, Louis, for interviewing me and that I was able to talk about my guest house. But thank you so much for the opportunity you gave me.
Have you wondered what your dog might think of the way that we humans live our lives? What do you think a dog might think of air travel, train travel, the clothing we wear, the way we cook our food? Have you ever wondered how the amazing animals that are guide dogs are raised and trained? Find out answers to these and other questions in my new book, Pause for Thought, Seeing the World Through the Eyes of a Guide Dog. It's available on Amazon as Kindle right now. And the link to buy your copy of that book will be in the show notes to this episode. Find out how your dog sees our world. Buy your copy of Pause for Thought, Seeing the World Through the Eyes of a Guide Dog, today.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We'd love to connect with you, so find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yasi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.